You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. One more hour to go on what has been a very busy one. Shane Beamer among the guests tomorrow, the new coach at the University of South Carolina. It is a big night. It is Tuesday night, and so it's a big night of SEC basketball. You have Alabama out there. You have Tennessee and Mississippi State. Tennessee trying to get back in the win column after a rough week. And Tom Hart joins us, of course, on the call tonight. And so many big calls in the SEC that Tom does, of course, in football and in basketball. Tom, thanks for joining us. Let's start with Tennessee. What's going on?
Well, they're missing their backup point guard, and their starting point guard has a bum hip. Jaden Springer's been out with an ankle injury. He's a little slow to return. Santiago Vescovi has a hip injury that's been bothering him. And this Tennessee team, which prides itself on defense, and Rick Barnes is a sensational coach and has done a tremendous job with them defensively, they still slow the other team down. The problem is they've been giving the other team too many possessions. 36 turnovers over their last two games. And that point guard health is a big reason behind it. So I don't think Vescovi's going to be 100% tonight. I think Springer's probably not likely to play. I'm not sure when he'll get back on the floor. They really miss him badly. Tennessee's strength is its depth ball. There's nobody in SEC scoring in the top 20. They just run waves at you. But when that depth takes a hit, I think their strength takes a hit.
Tom, to say the least, this has been an unusual year in the SEC when, you know, Tennessee was expected to be all world. Alabama, I think, picked to finish fifth. Kentucky expected to make a run. Let me move to Kentucky for a second. And it's not even a front burner conversation anymore about what has happened to them. Let me state the obvious here. Time is running out. What are your thoughts, having seen Kentucky often during this winter?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is a season, and we can say this about anything, right? It's a season unlike any of us have ever seen before. Now, if you want to take a broader view of where Kentucky is, I would simply say misery loves company. Duke, North Carolina, both having terrible years. Kansas is in danger of losing four in a row, which would be the first time under Bill Self since he was a head coach at Oral Roberts. It's been a while. It's been a tough year for those blue bloods, and so Kentucky's got elite company with them. There's no doubt about it. The problem is with Kentucky, it's really a myriad of problems, right? I mean, they're playing an older style. They go up against an Alabama team tonight that plays a very modern style, nothing but threes and to-the-rim twos. The guys that Kentucky thought they could lean on were either slow to develop or they're just not going to get there this year. And if that doesn't happen, first of all, they got to win in Nashville to make it to the tournament anyway. If those guys don't develop, they don't have a chance to win in Nashville anyway. What's interesting to me, Paul, from where I sit, and I will never, ever tell a fan base what they should think of their team or their coach or their players. That, to me, that's very personal, what you feel about your team. But the fans at Duke are understanding, and the fans at North Carolina, this would be the second straight season they don't make the tournament, and they say, well, we were due for a rebuild, and there's – no less passion at either one of those places, but there is certainly more understanding. There is very little understanding in the Commonwealth that this team has failed to produce, even though they have a Hall of Fame coach who's taken them to new heights over the last 11 years.
Well, we'll move on because, frankly, there's not much more to say about Kentucky. I would imagine over these last couple of weeks, the talk shows up there have been raging, but the window is pretty obvious what it is. Let me ask you about Alabama, because You knew Nate Oates was building a program for the future, but they have exploded. What's going on with them?
Well, I think it's an interesting tie-in with Kentucky, right? The one thing a fan base doesn't want, the number one thing, is to be irrelevant. And so I think that applies to the previous subject of our conversation. Alabama is more relevant in college basketball than maybe they've ever been. Go back to the 50s, the last time that they finished a season undefeated in SEC play. In fact, the football team has 18 undefeated seasons since 1956 when the basketball team last did it. They're certainly ahead of schedule for Nate Oates, but it is a perfect blueprint that he put into play since he got there from Buffalo. And what was that? It was simple. The offense is going to be wide open. We're taking the handcuffs off these guys that played for an NBA head coach in Avery Johnson who wanted to run sets every time down the floor and introduce new concepts almost on a daily basis. I think that limited where guys were from a mental standpoint. They just wanted to get out and play. Kyrie Lewis turned into a lottery pick last year under Nate Oates. John Petty's a guy who now all of a sudden has an interest in playing defense and great team basketball. And Herb Jones is a guy, when I talk to other coaches in this league, Paul, they say Herb Jones is the conference player of the year. They love what he does as the glue guy on that team. Also, an incredibly high rate that he knocks down from threes. And this modern era of basketball where you take threes and that opens up the defense and that turns into easy twos was something that the Houston Rockets really were the first in the NBA to go full bore on. They really went into it probably 4 or 5 years ago. They had their G League team doing it just to kind of get everybody in the organization used to it. And Nate Oates said, hey, that can work here. And players don't want to be handcuffed. They want to play unencumbered, and that certainly worked. I'll throw this one out you, though. The one thing that's kind of been buried in all of Alabama's offense and this conference record, 23 threes that they hit against LSU last week, is this season, to me, the biggest difference is he hasn't playing defense. They're a top 15 defensive efficiency team. And I think part of that is because other teams are trying to play catch-up and they put up bad shots and they try to shoot with them, and that's been hard to do. But the defense is what's going to keep them in key games. We all know how cruel the NCAA tournament can be. It's one and you're done. And if you have an off-shooting night and you rely so heavily on the threes, you're in danger. Villanova won a national championship playing that style. Alabama can do the same. But to me, they could do it because they could survive an off-shooting night because they've been playing good team defense.
You know Alabama fans, Tom, and I'm already hearing from some of them, why can't we, meaning the Alabama fans, win a national championship? So let me throw it back to you as we wrap up. You've answered the question in part, but is this Alabama team capable of winning it all?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. I mean, think about it this way. They've already beaten all the teams that were in front of them in the preseason poll. So obviously, you know, everybody was guilty of sleeping on them coming into the season. I would also throw out there that it is such an odd season. Anything can happen. Gonzaga and Baylor have proven themselves to be the class of college basketball. And P.S., the Big 12 Challenge is coming up this weekend. I really wish Alabama was matched up with Baylor. I think that would be an incredible game. I digress. Yes, they can win it. They have great guard play. They have a style of play that can keep you going. They play good defense. They can beat any team on any given night. And in the NCAA tournament, you're going to be asked to do that one night. You're going to be asked to survive a bad night, and I think their defense can allow them to do that. And then you're going to be asked to beat someone that maybe you shouldn't, and they have the firepower to do just that.
A lot of fantastic games starting at the top of the hour. We mentioned Kentucky and Alabama, Tennessee and Mississippi State, the game Tom will be doing. Tom, it's always great to see you. We look forward to chatting again often as we make the turn toward March Madness. Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime, Paul. Happy to carve out a few minutes for you and your guys. Have a great day.
You got it. Tom Hart. On the call for the Volunteers tonight as they try to get back on the winning ways against Mississippi State, a team that's had some pretty good moments as well under Ben Howland. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Squirrel is up next. What's up, Squirrel?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Thank you for taking my call today, Paul. And, you know, I almost called you last week after that bizarre press conference by your chancellor. But I thought, you know, I'm just going to wait and see how this thing shakes out. But, you know, as someone who's practically a son of Tennessee, you know, this Knox situation has real concern. But two quick things. Danny White, isn't he the same guy that carried on that foolishness about UCF winning the national championship a few years ago?
Yes, he is.
You know, we mocked him pretty much for a few weeks on this show, if you recall. And now he's your athletic director.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I am not taking back what I said at the time. I thought they were ridiculous comments. And I haven't seen the entire press. I think he doubled down on them the other day. He said, I think the quote is more than one team can share the national championship, which is definitely a shot at Alabama. Yeah.
Well, if he was smart now that he's in the SEC, I'd let all that talk die down.
Yeah, I would
too. You know what I mean. But second thing about Tennessee, nothing surprises me really about the Tennessee fan base having grown up there, but I'm shocked that such a large percentage of them would take Lane Kiffin back. I mean, does that surprise you?
Yes, it would.
It wasn't like the breakup was cordial.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah. If, you know, Kiffin's not coming back, and I have found that story to be.
Well, I know he's not, but yeah, it just surprises me.
There are a handful of
people still talk about it.
Yeah. Well, Squirrel, have you ever been as desperate as Tennessee fans are right now?
Well, it's like they dated a good looking girl and they caught her cheating on them, and then years later, they realize she's the best-looking woman in
the
day.
Yeah, well, Squirrel,
I
would hardly compare what Lane Diffin did to Tennessee as mere cheating. I mean, that was like that would be benevolent.
He was recruiting there. I mean, you got to go back and talk about what he was doing that day when they had to cut his phone off and didn't he have to find his own way back from Florida, him and Ogeron, and then they had Tennessee fans creeping through the hedge bushes at his house, scaring Layla and the kids. I mean, it's kind of a crazy few days there when he quit. So, again, I'm just shocked that his name comes up so much in this Tennessee coach search. And then I agree. I hope he stays in Oxford. I think he's interested. I think he's in a good place. But, hey, thanks for taking my call. It's been a really interesting show.
You bet. Great to have you on. I-Man is up next. What do you say, I-Man?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Live from the capital city. I love a good squirrel call, and I love a good Tom Hart interview. He does a great job on the basketball games. Paul, you and I have been together for a long time now, right? Who were the coaches at Alabama and Auburn when your show came to Montgomery?
We came there in, what, 2001? Is that right?
So Dubose and Tuberville.
Dubose and Senator Tuberville, yes.
You know, I was thinking that, if my recollection is close, I believe since I've been talking to you, every team in the SEC has at least had four head coaches in football. That's an amazing little stat. You know, Paul, I know you pretty well, and maybe your listeners don't know you, but can I give them kind of an insight?
I wish you would.
When these people are calling, and they're all convinced that they're smarter than the last caller when they give you coach referrals, and they honestly know that there's a lot of heavyweight people that listen to your program because they tend to call in quite often and say they listen regular. And these people that call in with these coaching, you know, suggestions, they believe that they're the smartest guy in the group of all the callers, and that those smart people and well-known people are going to pick them out and say, you know what, that guy's right. Why haven't we seen this? Boom, what have we been missing? And deep down inside, you've done snatched your jacket off, grabbed your shirt and your tie, ripped them off like Superman. You've leaned towards the camera with one eye closed and one eye, you know, wide open and eyebrow cocked. And you're saying to yourself, I'm mad as hell and I'm not taking this anymore. And then you shake yourself and you sit back down in your chair and you kind of straighten up. And you say, Bruce from Colorado, welcome to the show. And then, you know, you do this day in and day out. Day in, day out, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. We're going on 20 years, and you go through this, because I've seen you privately in the studio, and I've seen you, Bruce from Colorado, you're next. Oh, am I on there? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I think Peyton Manning ought to be the next coach of Tennessee. What you think? Now, I hang up and listen to your response. Have a great day, Paul.
Thank you. Okay. Louie is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Louie.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I got a question. I may stand to be corrected, but okay. About an hour ago, you gave a list of the greatest coaches in America, college coaches.
Right.
And I might have misunderstood, but I didn't hear Eric Posehn's name in there.
Well, I only read the top 10, I'll have to go back and look. I mean, he should be on any list of greatest coaches. I would agree with you on that.
Yeah. The I'm going to throw this in. While I was on the phone waiting, I heard a lady say that Bear Bryant didn't have any Heisman Trophy winners. Well, that's true, but at the time, you look back, Paul Hornung, I think, won two games and won the Heisman Trophy.
He did not have any at Alabama.
I know. And I'm agreeing. I know we're talking about Alabama. You got to remember, when Eric Posehn was the coach at Notre Dame, the first year he got there, John Hewitt came from nowhere. He won the Heisman Trophy. And I think Joe Namath was at Alabama.
Yeah, he was.
You know, and there was some – and also
yeah,
Alabama
but,
was –
Yeah, but let me say, back then, Notre Dame, you know, this is the same school that, about 10 years earlier, Paul Hornung beat Johnny Majors and, I believe, Jim Brown – because on a 2-9 or a 1-9 team. So Notre Dame used to dominate the media influence in a way that was unprecedented.
Yeah, would you say, I agree with that. But, Paul, it wasn't only Notre Dame. It was the Big Ten. Because one year, somewhere in the late 60s, Georgia beat Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
First game of the year. The second game, they went to Michigan and played Michigan and beat them 6-3. Now, they beat Alabama. They didn't make the top 10. But after they beat Michigan, they jumped at number 3. That's what we were faced with back then. They didn't recognize the South.
No, and Lewis, it cost Alabama national championships. And for those who don't understand why, history will bear out what I'm about to say. There was an extreme bias against the South, especially Alabama, because of the racial history, pretty dark history, I might add, of that state. And there were writers who would not embrace it because they did not have black players at the time. So there was punitive action taken, and they paid a price for their lackadaisical, if not heinous, attitude toward integrating college football and everything else for that matter.
Paul, I'm 82 years old, and I still scratch my head. How did Billy Cannon get that Heisman Trophy? He won it. I think he deserved to win it, but how did he get it? You know, they were competing.
Yeah, who else came out that year?
Well, I'm sorry, Paul, what you said.
So who else was in contention that year?
I think Rutgers had a player in
there. Yeah, I must say that's one Heisman. The 58, I did not cover that one, or the 59. Hey, thank you for the call. Great to have you on. What a pleasure to hear from you. And let's talk to Rhonda, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Rhonda, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are well. Thank you for the call, as always.
Great. Hey, I've spoken many times about being raised in Curry, Alabama. I grew up going to Alabama games, watching the Bear. I think we were the first people in the stadium every time because my dad wanted to watch it all, the warm-ups, the Bear leaning on the goalpost. So I wanted to tell my story where I was when I heard the news and how I found out about the Bear. I was finishing my schooling at Western Kentucky University as a junior. I walked into the wing of my dorm. There were six rooms in each wing, and all of us girls were close, and we gathered almost every evening in Joey and Kim's room, first room on the right. I had a really long day that day. It was a Wednesday. As soon as I walked in, a freshman, Alicia, from Owensboro, Kentucky, said, "Hey, did you hear the Bear died?" They all knew what a fan I was, and I just stood there. I think I felt the world turning, and you could have heard a pin drop. I turned, walked to my room, called my parents, collect. You talked about using a payphone earlier, right? So called my parents. My mom answered. She was choked up and just handed the phone off to my daddy, and we talked. Of course, you couldn't talk too long because you would be running the phone bill
off,
right? Oh, yeah,
sure. A long-distance call. Come on.
Exactly. So sad. I didn't leave my room till that Friday. I had a big project due, and I went to turn that in, and I'll never forget my professor just grabbed me and hugged me. If you knew me and you know me now, you know I'm a big fan. So
no, I'm glad you shared that with us.
I look forward to the game tonight. I hope we do as well as we did the last time we played Kentucky a couple of weeks ago. And I want to encourage all the Bama fans out there to let's get behind this basketball team and Coach Nate Oates. You know, we can have a national championship in football and basketball would be a fantastic year.
Well, it has happened before, and it happened at the University of Florida.
Yes. All right, Paul, thank you for letting me talk, and we look forward to seeing you here in Louisville hopefully really soon.
I can't wait to get anywhere. Thank you. Louisville's a great town.
Roll Tide.
Thanks, Rhonda. Yeah, we really haven't – we've talked about it a little bit, but it is I read something today about people reflecting back on Kobe Bryant a year ago, and that was another one of those shocking – moments in sports history. But for Alabamians of a certain age, 38 years ago today, easily one of the saddest days in history. I've heard from a lot of friends who were commemorating and remembering it as well. We will take a break. We still have 30 minutes to go on this Tuesday night. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It's great to have you. Final 25 minutes on this Tuesday night, and Rob starts us off from New Jersey. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
I am doing great. Thank you. Hope you are.
Well, it's taken me 2 weeks, but I finally got through.
Wonderful.
You guys were talking a couple of weeks ago about the impact of the SEC network, and I just had been trying to get in to say, I'm an SEC expat. I got my undergraduate degree in Athens in 69, law degree 72, came home to New Jersey to practice law. And back then, like many people, we were cut off from what was going on in the SEC. It just wasn't covered. And now we have the Paul Feinbaum show. It's wonderful. I mean, all the interesting and unique people that called in, some of them are a little more unique than others. But, you know, the perspectives, the data, it's It's just been wonderful. I think I speak for tens of thousands of SEC expats living around the country when we say thank you for what you do for us.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, Rob, thank you, because this was a fascinating idea, and I can say this because I was hired. I was the first person hired to be the first talent hired to be for on the SEC network. So I played a role with people who had already been working on it in the marketing of it and in the selling of it, not to fans, but to the cable companies and the satellite companies. And it was fascinating to go to those meetings and go to those conversations and try to talk to people in New York about the fan support. And I remember not long after we launched, Joe Tessitore, Tim Tebow, Marcus Spears, and I did a tour of all the advertising agencies on Madison Avenue, even though some are no longer on Madison Avenue. And I really felt like we might as well have been at Gorky Park in Moscow trying to convince Russians of who we were, because those people looked at us. I mean, forget me, Tim Tebow, they didn't know who he was, and you know, maybe they would get a picture for their daughter, but it was unbelievable. So when I hear you say what you have said about everyone that has worked at the SEC network and continues to, it's really gratifying to hear.
Well, I'm happy to do. And by the way, switching gears, one of my classmates in undergraduate school, whom I didn't know, was Louis Grizzard.
Oh my goodness!
Is Louis still remembered in the South today?
Rob, sadly, not as much. I got to know him toward the end and did some interviews with him, but I don't. One of these days, somebody needs to do one of these documentaries on him. I don't know if of his era, if anyone had more influence on the SEC culture than Louis did. His wife wrote a book about
Which
him.
Which one?
The last one. I wish I could offer you something, but that is something that needs to be done, because forget his connection to Georgia, but you know, he really was a trailblazer for the expansion of the sports medium. I mean, and then he went into comedy, which he was just hilarious. I saw one of his shows once, and I can't imagine what he was. I mean, I knew what he was like late in his life. I can't imagine what he was like undergraduate.
Well, you know, he probably wrote what was the greatest newspaper headline about an upcoming college football game.
I do. Go ahead. I'll let you say it. You're a lawyer.
It was the Georgia-South Carolina game. Our middle linebacker, Happy Dix, was injured. The newspaper read, "Dogs play Cox with Dix out."
Hey, I know you're such a big fan of the show. Can you get me a job when I get fired tomorrow morning for you telling that joke?
Oh, I'm long retired.
Okay.
I just sit around and listen to you every afternoon.
Well, what type of law did you practice?
I was a personal injury litigator.
Wow.
And like you, when I came home at night, I didn't want to talk about it.
No.
because it's not fun work because you're dealing with other people's misery. What can I say?
Robert, what a pleasure. By the way, I could listen to your voice. You could have been a late night DJ in the 70s playing classic rock.
No, I was up doing closing statements in front of a picture window. I'm not kidding. I mean, that's when you're trying a case, you're working 12, 14 hours a day, sometimes more. Just what it is if you want to do it well.
Did you practice mainly in the Northeast?
Oh, yeah, strictly in New Jersey. With an occasional foray into Manhattan or Philly in the federal courts.
Sure. Wow. What a fascinating. I could listen to your stories all night. I'm fascinated by that field and always have.
Well, they're not happy stories.
No. I don't think people realize that is a tough field because you're literally going up against the Alabamas and Floridas of the world when it comes to law firms. I did not particularly care for personal injury attorneys when I was in the newspaper business early on because I had to lean on those big law firms to keep me out of trouble. But I do appreciate it. I do appreciate it now. I can assure you.
Well, thank you. Hey. I wasn't a big law firm, but I held my own and was well respected, and that's all you can ask for.
No, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for calling. It's a pleasure to hear from you.
Great to talk to you.
You bet. Wow, what an interesting tale there. Really appreciated that. Let's check in with Brad, who is in. Let me make sure I get this correct. Brad, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Paul. How you doing?
Brad, I am doing great. How are you?
Doing well. I was going to tell you, I've got the answer to Cat Daddy's question about a son that ended up being a better coach than his dad.
Who was that?
He's coaching in the SEC. Lane Kiffin.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Now, I think I was thinking Kiffin. More big picture. And by the way, Monty Kiffin was an amazing defensive coach.
He was, but he was the head coach at NC State, I believe.
I forgot that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But
we're not talking about many others. A good point.
That's right. I was going to put you on the spot a little bit. This year, there were four openings in the SEC. Auburn, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee. How would you rank those jobs as far as the best jobs, 1 through 4?
Auburn, South Carolina, Vandy, and what was the other one?
Tennessee.
I would say Auburn is the best job of that group.
Okay.
Because I think at Auburn, and you know, forget the Saban factor, but think about this: in the last 10 years, 10 seasons, 11 seasons now, Auburn has played for the national championship twice, and
exactly.
A couple of years ago they had a shot at getting back there. Had they beaten Georgia in the SEC championship game, Tennessee hasn't come near a national championship run since, 2003?
Yeah, they won it in, I believe it was 98.
Yeah, it may have been 2001. If Tennessee had beaten, if Fulmer had beaten Saban in the SEC championship game, which he should have done, they would have played for the title. So, yeah, the other Vanderbilt speaks for itself. South Carolina,
exactly.
The recruiting bay, it's a tough climb there. I think Auburn's easily the best.
Well, here was the point I was bringing. I think there are five schools that are in a class of their own: Alabama, Georgia, Florida, A&M, and LSU.
Right.
I think you'd agree those are probably the five best jobs in the SEC. Okay, so now if you say Auburn job is better than Tennessee, that's 6. Okay, and then if you go on down and now you're looking at Kentucky or South Carolina, the point I'm making is Tennessee comes out as being like the 8th best job if you're saying it's better than Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Missouri. It's like the 8th best job in the SEC.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, and I would agree with you. And I think the A&M job has emerged, but there's no stopping A&M.
Exactly.
You knew.
Another question I was going to ask you: out of those that are not in the top five, if somebody made you answer this, which one do you feel as though is the best sleeping giant? Out of those top five.
Yeah, I used to. By the way, five years ago, I thought A&M was a sleeping giant if they ever got it right,
exactly.
And I think that's been proven. By the way, I didn't come up with that. Coach Bryant came up with that, as you know. He once said that program would be out of control again if they ever got it right. So we're talking about what are we talking about? I'm trying to do the math.
Tennessee, Kentucky, Auburn, South Carolina.
Okay.
Ole Miss. Mississippi
well,
State,
I'm probably – I think Tennessee could be in that category after a couple of years.
Okay, because of the fan base.
Yeah, and you know, Tennessee has a lot going for it. Not right now, but it can. And, yeah, I mean – but I think this is critical. Tennessee, if it doesn't get this right – is going to end up being Nebraska, which is really a forgotten program. And you and I, it wasn't that long ago that Nebraska was the dominant program in college football.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.